been working our way through a series on the Lord's Prayer. Those of you who have been with us will know that we have pulled from the Luke version, not the Matthew version, but the Luke version, which is a little different, right? It's got kind of a different character to it. The phrases are constructed in a different way. A lot of the same kind of things, but, you know, sometimes it's interesting and helpful to hear things in a new context because we gloss over so much. It's easy to kind of like just kind of plow through that prayer, like we've talked about, plow through that prayer and not kind of linger over some of the words and some of the impact, what it means. And so that's what we've been trying to do. So the first week we talked about Father, and last week we talked about holiness. This week we will tackle the idea of kingdom. What does it say? It says, bring in your kingdom. Different than what we normally play, thy kingdom come, right? Pulling from the King James kind of language, right? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So today we're going to have to kind of deal with a little bit of a different way of understanding life politically, a different way of understanding our responsibility and our place in the world through this whole idea of kingdom, which is weird for Americans, right? I mean, we certainly have come a long way since the 1770s. I wasn't around then. I'm not going to accuse of anyone of being there. But 1770s, we had essentially a revolution in this country. Not everybody was on board with that, right? It wasn't all like us versus them. But a really kind of like very complex political reality of how are we going to live our lives? And a bunch of rebels, right? A bunch of rebels decided we're going to push back against this and pushed back against the colonial power in England at the time, right? Now, England has since become very friendly with the United States. We certainly saw something very different in World War II. But if you need to be reminded, we had a really kind of tough time. Now, my people are English, and so, you know, we've got, some mixed feelings about things. But we've come a long way, right, since the 1770s, where we had a king, we were subjects of the crown, and because of that, you know, people could come and do some things that we would not even recognize as America's citizens now. We explicitly put into place laws and understandings of things about who we are and how we can be as a people. And it's an amazing thing. There's constantly in our context now conversations about the future of democracy. How are we going to, you know, keep the democracy that we have and keep it intact in ways that are consistent with the American dream that it was in the first place. Martin Luther King in 1965 on the 4th of July was asked to speak to some folks, and here's what he wrote in his Independence Day speech. America is essentially a dream. By the way, this was years after the I Have a Dream speech, and he's still pondering what that means. He says, it is a dream of a land where men of all races, of all nationalities, of all creeds, can live together as brothers. The substance of the dream is expressed in these sublime words. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. If you don't recognize that, that's from our Declaration of Independence, right? That is the dream. And a dream, really, we are constantly confronting and negotiating and having to kind of figure out even now. It's that ethereal. It's that kind of idealistic. Now, that's what makes it kind of difficult for us to kind of come back through and look at Jesus's prayer. Jesus says, when you pray, pray like this. And among the things he says, your kingdom, right? Which is a recognition of God, of the Trinity, of what we understand the Godhead to be, as holding kingship. So as much as we are wrapped, as much as we have our being as citizens, you know, of living in a representative democracy, of a republic, as much as we have that, we are also going to say, as citizens of heaven, as children of God, that God is our king. You see the tension? Perhaps it's hard. Perhaps it's no biggie, right? God is on this side, country is on that side. But how do we make decisions about who we are and how do we live? How do we allow people to be people of faith and also to be leaders in our country who are guided by the ethics of their faith? We've been able to figure this out in its complexities, but it still requires us to do the work. Jesus says, when you pray, I want you to pray your kingdom in, meaning that God's kingdom is not completely in place. Of course it's in place. Of course, God, if God is king, right? But absolutely at the same time, it is something that is in the process of becoming. Jesus says, the kingdom of God is near, right? And he's referring to when he comes into this world and he is working with people, the kingdom of God is approaching, is at hand. But there are still parts of the kingdom that still need to be conquered or dealt with or brought into the fold. When we have an idea of God as king, we have a very old notion. God did not initially want kingdoms to kind of be around. I don't know if you knew this. If you look at the Old Testament, the people of Israel, excuse me, made it out of Egypt into the Promised Land. They were a mess, okay, honestly. They, you know, still kind of dealing with things, having to conquer territory, having to be in, you know, geopolitical fights with their neighbors, with the people that were there already, and having to kind of figure out how to be in an economic relationship with the world around them. And they looked around and they saw other groups that had, they've got a centralized leader, right? The choir has Willis. Oh, look, you guys are able to sing and do amazing things. Me not. But you are able to do amazing things in part because of the leadership that you have. I'm not asking you for anything, Willis. I'm just saying. You get it? So they look and they say, we want something like that. And God goes, aren't I enough? Am I not enough for you? And they said, we want something like that. If we had that, we would be able to organize, we would be able to raise up a coherent army, we would be able to kind of like economically kind of do well for ourselves. In this life, we need a king, right? And so they pester God, and this most amazing thing happens. God says, okay, here you go, right? And there's a king. Samuel gets the job of pulling the king out of the herd and saying, all right, this guy is going to be king. He is given this responsibility in 1 Samuel 10 to identify Saul. Not the best king, but our first king, or their first king, right? He was kind of a mess. And so after a while, it's like, we need another person. God says, we need another person. Anoints David, and it takes 10 years for David to be, you know, put on the throne. Saul tried to kill David. There was a, you know, civil war that went on back and forth. So this whole idea of king is complicated. If we want Willis, there's going to be trouble. And you know it. What if it was that God was the one who showed us the way, who pulls us together, who identifies the path and says, beyond that door is where we need to go? I mean, we certainly need to be good citizens. I'm not saying anything about that. But we also have the responsibility as children of God, as followers of Jesus, as people of the Holy Spirit, to allow for something greater than ourselves and our political shenanigans to point the way, to push us, to pull us, and the ways that we need to go. Zechariah 9:9. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout in triumph, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and endowed with salvation, humble and mounted on a donkey, even on a colt, the foal of a donkey. Okay, those of you who are around here for Palm Sunday, who is he talking about? Good, thank you. Okay, cool. Let me just try that one more time. Okay. Who is he talking about?
Jesus.
Right. Matthew 21, say to this is basically a conflated quote of what I just read. Say to the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, gentle, and mounted on a donkey, even on a colt, the foal, the beast of a burden. If we are to follow a king, what would that king look like? Right. If we are to look to say, what is the character of the king? It is the character of a shepherd, right? That's the Old Testament version of it. A king is to be a good shepherd of the people, who guides us into safety, who identifies the crooked path and stays off of it, who helps us to do the things that we're supposed to do. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He restores my soul. He gives me the water I need to drink. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, right? Because the Lord is with me. The King is with me. So on this 4th of July week, we most certainly have a lot to do. We have a lot to remember about how we have been given an amazing country that has at its core, a dream about people being able to live in a good and holy and loving way, to find peace in life, in this life, that we are given inalienable rights for that. Yet, at the same time, I have to ask you, have we overthrown the larger king? Not the King of England, but in doing what we do, in living how we live, in being who we are we the subjects of the larger king we call Trinity? Father, Son, Holy Spirit, the complexity of all, whose character, whose nature we see in the very face of Jesus the Christ? Or did the kingdom come near and keep going? Has the kingdom left us? Have we left the kingdom? Are we subjects of the loving king? Not some English king, not some Jewish king, not some American king. Are we subjects of the holy king, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? Or is that just something that we get together and talk about from time to time? This is the question. This is the question that we face when we look at what's happening, you know, what happened on Thursday in the debate. This is the question that we will face in November. And it is the question that we will face in December and January and the next day and the next day and the next day. Who is our king, brothers and sisters? And how do we follow? And I say all this to you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.